love song in your own words.
He's the only one. Say the name of Jesus, you're high above it all.
Good morning, everybody, and God bless you. Where you go, I'll go. What you say, I'll say. And what you pray, I'll pray. I think we needed that kind of a song this morning. I think we needed something calming. I think we needed something soothing. Because not only is it a day of remembrance, 9/11, here in America and around the world. But after the evil and the lies that were exposed last night from a greedy multi-billion dollar corporation to mislead the American people and to stifle the will and the truth of the American people, I think we needed something like that. Where you go, I'll go. What you say, I'll say. And what you pray, I'll pray. I want you to sing that throughout the day. I want you to sing that mantra throughout the day. Where you go, I'll go. Even if it's into the fire. What you say, I'll say. And what you pray, I'll pray. Beautiful song. That was a worship song sang by Brian Johnson and Lindsey Strand. Okay? Now, if you see the title of today's show, it's Bound and Burned. Now, I didn't have time this morning to get out a newsletter as usual, so I apologize for that. But by the time that I got the studio shut down, by the time I got home, by the time I actually got into bed, laid down, ready to go to sleep, It was about 12:30. And of course, I have to be back up at 5 to get into the studio, to get things going, to get things ready. And this morning, I actually didn't get out until 6. So everything was crunch time this morning. So I apologize. No excuse, though, right? So this morning, I titled today's show, Bound and Burned. And I'd like to read the description of today's show and then get to prayer and then get busy. Jeremy, you couldn't squeeze it in before between your show, your kids, your wife, eating, and the debate, etc.? Nope, I couldn't. That's a good one. Rise Up, episode number 428. Bound and Burned by Sin is exactly what the devil wants for us. Why? Because that is actually what has become of him. Imagine that. Imagine being made so perfectly like he was, and then by his own decision and by his own desires, he was bound, he was chained, and he was confined to dwell in hell, but roam the earth trying to destroy God's most precious creation, which is us, because misery loves company. And that's what it all comes down to, isn't it? Misery loves company. And Jesus warns us of Satan's tricks, warns us of Satan's traps, warns us of people being taken over by the evil one, warns us that evil begets evil and misery loves company, and warns us to flee from that kind of attitude, that kind of belief system. And again, by Satan's own desires and decisions, he bound himself to dwell in hell for eternity. And he's trying to take us with him. Would you like to go? Would you like a one-way ticket? I'd like a one-way ticket, but not there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'm going to have you open up your Bibles today, and I'll show it as well, to Daniel 3:16. Daniel 3:16. That's where we're going to read from today. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you now. Come, Jesus, come. This world is increasingly getting evil, as the Bible predicted. And it seems like you might be back any day, Lord Jesus. It is very difficult as a human to hold our emotions in check after things that happened last night and remembering 9/11 today. Lord, but this is a perfect test for us, your children. Last night was a test for us. Can we love thy enemy? Can we stand steadfast, trusting in you, Lord, while all the evil arrows are being slung our way on fire? Can we focus on you, Lord, in the storm? And do we have faith that you are in control of everything? Times like last night and times like today are a test. Lord, help us pass that test today. Help us break the chains that we are bound in by sin. Help us depart from evil. Help us stand strong in the fire and in the storm. Lord, today we pray healing over those with broken bones, those with respiratory illnesses, and those with life-threatening diseases. Lord, we ask for relief and healing upon them and their family today. We ask that you help us keep focused on you in the storms and in all fires. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that we do not deserve. We humble ourselves before the throne. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you guys ever finished your prayer like we just did? While your eyes are closed and your head is bowed, have you ever just wanted to stay there in that moment? Have you ever just wanted to keep your head bowed and keep your eyes closed? Not because you're tired, but because you want to remain in the presence of God. That's what I felt just now. Like, I know I've got a message to give from God today. And I also know that I've got a show to do at 11 o'clock. But man, did I just want to stay in the presence of God by myself in silence at that moment. All right, I'm going to do something real quick. Because the one thing that we don't need right now is distraction and negativity. We need focus and positivity. That's what we need this morning. Focus and positivity. So put on your armor of God, folks, because we're going to be talking about being bound and burned today. Please open up your Bibles to Daniel 3, verse 16. I'll give you a moment to get there, but that is going to be Daniel chapter 3. Verse 16. Now, I am reading from the Complete Jewish Bible. So when you see names in the Complete Jewish Bible, they may not look exactly like the names that you read from your Bible, from your version. But when you're reading from the Complete Jewish Bible, you're reading from how the Jews pronounce these names. And I got to be honest with you, I love learning the old Hebrew way of speaking. I wish I had the time to learn Hebrew. I think that would be really, really beneficial and kind of cool. Don't you? All right, you've opened your Bibles. I've given you time. Before we get to the verse of the day today, let me read to you from Living the 66 Books of the Bible, and I want to read from Daniel, which you've just opened to Daniel 3, verse 16. Daniel was probably a teenager when he became one of the first inhabitants of Jerusalem to be seized and marched by the Babylonians into exile. His maturity exceeded his years, and he remained steadfast to the Lord at every point, diligently studying the scriptures, remaining close to his God-fearing friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And praying three times a day. The Lord rewarded Daniel with political power to influence those around him, and most of all, with powerful revelations of the future. We can be just as faithful to the Lord as Daniel, especially if we follow his example of daily Bible study, daily fellowship, and daily prayer. Plus, we have all the prophecies the Lord gave to him. We should study his prophetic announcements just as diligently as he studied the prophecies of Jeremiah. Daniel's predictions provide a blueprint for all biblical prophecy, and they infuse our hearts with a hopeful longing for the events leading to the return of Christ. We can become people who live in the prophetic future. We even understand these things better than Daniel did because we have all the New Testament predictions to enlighten the picture. We also know the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. The things of earth will fade as we set our minds on one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. Jeremy, in the future, I encourage you to do just that. Keep your eyes on the Lord and bask in the moment. We can do the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. It's exactly what we need to do, which is why you don't see me in the chat as much as I used to. It's very difficult for me to see something that somebody wrote that needs correcting or needs addressed, and we get off on this whole thing. But we have 1,000 people watching right now. If you guys could do me a favor and rumble and share this video, I'd appreciate it. Let's get into this. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "Your question doesn't require an answer from us. Your Majesty, if our God, whom we serve, is able to save us, he will save us from the blazing hot furnace and from your power. But if he doesn't, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will neither serve your gods nor worship the golden statue which you have set up." Now, as you can see there, it says Nebuchadnezzar, but it's Nebuchadnezzar in the way we speak it, became so utterly enraged that his face was distorted with anger against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace made 7 times hotter than usual. Now, this furnace that we're speaking of was a furnace that he promised to throw anybody who did not bow down and worship the golden statue in his likeness. Anybody that did not bow down would be thrown into this furnace and burned up. And because he wanted to make an example out of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he says, make it 7 times hotter. Now, whose doing was that, do you think? Nebuchadnezzar's or God's? Let's remember God's number 7. Why wouldn't, since Nebuchadnezzar is getting ready to do this, why wouldn't God urge and prompt him to say, make it 7 times hotter? Because God was about to show up and show out. He was about to show up, he was about to show out, and he wanted everyone to see that even though that fire was 7 times hotter than normal, it is no match for the living God. Very incredible stuff. Let's get back to it. Then he ordered some of the strongest men in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So those men were tied up in their cloaks, tunics, robes, and other clothes, and thrown in to a blazing hot furnace. Now, let me set this picture for you. The Bible does not describe strong men as the ones that bound them for no reason. The reason why it's focusing on the seven, or the, not seven, but the strongest men in his army is because they wanted you to understand how tightly these men were bound, hands and feet. Now, I want to ask you a question. Think of your worst moment in life. Not the worst things that were happening to you, but the worst you that you can possibly think of. I want you to think of the worst you. The you that was blaspheming. The you that was committing adultery. The you that hated. The you that didn't believe in God. The you that thought that you were the center of the universe. If you were ever that person. Now, maybe all of you weren't, but I was. I want you to think of that moment and who you were. And I can guarantee you, at that moment, you were so tightly bound. Your hands, your feet, your hands to your feet, and blindfolded by sin. You were bound by sin. You were burning because of sin. That's who you were, and that's what you were. You were ungodly, you were unholy, you were unrighteous, and you were bound and burned by your own desire to sin. Remember that. So I really wanted to focus on that, how tightly they were bound and how that compares to being bound and burned by sin, like Satan. Verse 22. The king's order was so urgent and the furnace so overheated that the men carrying Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were burned to death by the flames. So that means that the men that bound and carried these gentlemen died literally by the flames of the seven times hotter burning furnace. And they couldn't even get near it. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the blazing hot furnace. Suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar sprang to his feet, alarmed. He asked his advisors, "Did we throw three men bound into the flames?" They answered the king, "Yes, of course, your majesty." But he exclaimed, "Look, I see four men not tied up, walking around in the flames, unhurt. And the fourth looks like one of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar approached the opening of the blazing hot furnace and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, your servants of El Elyon, come out and come here." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego emerged from the flames. The viceroys, prefects, governors, and royal advisors who were there saw that the fire had no power on the bodies of these men. Not even their hair was singed. Their clothes looked exactly the same, and they did not smell of fire. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to deliver his servants who trusted in him. They defied the royal order to the point of being willing to give up their bodies in order not to serve or worship any god but their own God. There was another in the fire standing next to me." You've heard that song, right? But the fact that God showed up and showed out, and what we talked about yesterday, I can show you better than I can tell you. That was 2 days ago, excuse me. I can show you better than I can tell you. God converted Nebuchadnezzar and everybody to believing in the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of David, Yahweh. So let me just tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. Again, the detail, the small detail of the story of four in the fire that often gets overlooked is the bound part. And I think it's so incredibly important to focus on that because it represents us being bound by sin. And even though they were bound and thrown into the fire by strong men, hands and feet, they were unharmed with the presence of Jesus and came out with their shackles gone, no longer bound. Because when we go through the fire, I'm getting those goosebumps, folks. I'm getting those goosebumps. Because when we go through the fire with Jesus, he breaks and releases us from all of our shackles, from all of our chains that had us bound by sin, but only if there is another in the fire with us, only with Jesus. Nobody can do that for you. You can't do it alone. Your mom can't do it. Your dad can't do it. Your friends can't do it. The cops can't do it. The hospitals can't do it. The governor can't do it. The president can't do it. Kings and queens can't do it. But Jesus, the one true living king, can break free your chains and shackles, can break you free from being burned daily by sin, where you can walk out of that furnace unbound, free, unharmed, unsinged, perfect. So when reading this story in Daniel, when understanding the bound part of this story, you read it in a whole new light. You're looking at it in a whole new angle. Because, like I said, it specifically dwells down on the fact that they picked the strongest men. That means they wanted them bound and tightened and chained so tight that there was no way that they could be set free. But he's the chain breaker. Didn't they know? Now, want to know how God is so good? This morning, we're talking about being bound and burned. Now, you guys know our friend Bryce Crawford. Well, Bryce Crawford's latest videos are him preaching where? At the Burning Man Festival. A demonic, sex-filled, orgy-like event that happens every year, Burning Man. Bryce Crawford decided, well, I'm going to go bring Jesus to the Burning Man so he can be the fourth in the fire. Bryce Crawford.
All right, guys, we're here. We're at Burning Man 2024. This is the event that we've been talking about since Josh and I started the ministry. I'm excited to document our experience here. It's going to be powerful. Burning Man becomes the third largest city in Nevada for a week. Disguised underneath Burning Man, you have a life of sex, drugs, and promiscuity. We've been so excited to share the love of Jesus here and kind of meet people where they're at. I think this is the last place people would expect Jesus to encounter them. So what a better place to be than at the darkest event in the year, the darkest event in Nevada, Burning Man. Come here and love people well. It's going to be amazing. Brad, how long have you been coming to Burning Man?
15 years.
15 years. And what was your first burn like?
A couple of my buddies came in 2009.
Uh-huh.
I was working at a bar.
Uh-huh.
They showed up after the burn at like 9 o'clock at night, told me stories for 5 hours until the bar closed at 2. I'm like, next year I'm going with you guys.
You're going.
Hands down.
And you've been going every year since then?
Every year since then.
When we've been walking around, we've seen a lot of spirituality. For you personally, do you believe in a God, a higher power? What does spirituality look like for you?
I'm not very religious,
mm-hmm.
but there's something that I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's totally cool. Do you have any background with Jesus, or what do you think about him?
I grew up Southern Baptist, but to me, I can't put it just into one religion.
Can I share a little bit of my story as well? But there were a lot of people in my community that were like, do this with your life, Bryce, do this with your life. But then they were doing the total opposite themselves, pastors and leaders. And so I was like, these guys are hypocrites. God's a hypocrite. I hate God. I went to a private Christian school. And the only reason I was learning about Jesus was I got to get an A on this quiz and test. You know, I hated it all. And I used to struggle with bad depression and anxiety. So in high school, I got riddled with depression and anxiety. And that stuff feels like an incurable disease.
It just feels like
it'll never go away. There was a night I was going to take my life. I go to Waffle House. You're from the South. You know what Waffle House is. I go to have my last meal at Waffle House. I have a supernatural encounter with Jesus when I'm in Waffle House. And I was like, God, I got this bad taste in my mouth about you. So I said, if you're real, take away my anxiety and depression. Because I'm like, man, if you're God, you could take it away. He took away my anxiety and depression almost instantaneously. Since that day, I haven't had anxiety or depression. When I was having this encounter with Jesus, it was like all those people that were like organized religion, Christianity is a cage of rules, this isn't that. When Jesus encountered me, he was like, man, you don't follow me because you have to. Like, if you want to listen to my commands and read the Bible and obey the Bible, it's because you love me. He's like, look at your dad. You listen to your dad, not because you have to, because you love him. He's like, follow me because you love me. And I realized that my anxiety and depression and all the wickedness and struggles that I've been through, when Jesus died on the cross, like, that's what he died for. And so when I put my faith and trust in him, I'm like, man, Jesus, you took that on. I'm going to put my faith and trust in you. Would it be okay if I prayed for you and blessed you before you left?
Absolutely.
Could I put a hand on your shoulder? Is that okay? Thank you, Brad. I appreciate
you, man.
Jesus, thank you so much for Brad. God, I thank you for his kind heart. Jesus, I pray that you just protect him and keep him safe as Burning Man finishes, God. I just thank you for his life, God. Would you just continue to speak to him through other people? God, would you just send people his way that actually represent you the correct way and love him the way that he's supposed to be loved by you, God. And we just thank you for Brad. Bless him, God. Speak to him in dreams and visions. We bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can I give you a hug?
Yeah, absolutely. Love you, dude.
Love you so much.
That was a really interesting conversation. He was super kind. Earlier, we passed by a booth and it said that they do a Bible study every hour. And then when we went inside the booth, the lady was super kind and she was like, yeah, a lot of people out here don't like organized religion, and so signs like this or anything about the Bible and Christianity would often scare people away. But what we notice is if you approach people with gentleness, a kind heart, and you're there to listen, that people actually soften their heart and open up and want to hear what you say, want to hear how Jesus transformed your life. And so that was a super cool conversation. We're going to keep having more conversations with people here at Burning Man. Do you believe in a higher power? What kind of spirituality? Do you follow anything? What does that look like for you?
I believe in art. You know, I just believe that humans create the most magnificent art in the world, and that's pretty much what I'm, you know, praying to.
When you die, what do you think happens when you die?
I become a work of art.
A work of art. What does that look like? Does that look like?
Probably a tree.
A tree. Okay, so you believe like once you die, you become something with nature or something of that sort.
Decompose and with no ego, just like every other human or living thing ever. I was never taught that God existed to begin with, so it was easy for me.
I had major depression, anxiety, and I struggled with suicidal thoughts because it felt like that the only way to get rid of my anxiety and depression was to take my life. And so there was a night I was going to take my life, and I had a supernatural encounter with Jesus when I was in there. And it ended up being like all this organized religion and these cage of rules and people being like, you have to do this, you have to do this. Jesus was like, no, you don't have to fix yourself to come to me. No, I'm not going to force you to follow me. I was like, actually, if you come to me, I'm going to clean you up. Okay. And if you want to listen to me.
Yeah, I don't think that there's like a man that can do all that. Thank you, I appreciate you.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. See you later. Well, that happens, guys. Sometimes when you share Jesus with people, they don't want to hear the gospel. But the reality is we plant seeds, we water seeds, and God brings the increase. And so when people get flustered or upset, you can't get upset. You're doing the work of a Christian. You're doing what Jesus called us to do. Go into the earth and preach the gospel to all nations. So we have to just press in and hold to that truth and keep sharing the love of Jesus with people regardless of how they react. I'm here with my friend Ruffy. What is your soul searching for at Burning Man?
Oh, just being myself, you know?
Being yourself.
No judgment.
Do you believe in like a God? Do you believe in anything spiritual? What's your view on that?
Oh yeah, I feel like something is out there, but I don't know. I kind of pinpoint, you know?
Yeah. Can I share a little bit of my story with you?
Yeah, of course.
I had a supernatural encounter. I used to struggle with depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
And I was going to take my life because depression and anxiety feels like an incurable disease, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
And it felt like that the only way to get it to go away was if I was going to take my life.
Yeah.
And I hated any sort of religion. I hate all organized religion. And the night I was going to take my life, I went to go have my last meal.
Yeah.
And I had an encounter with Jesus Christ.
Okay.
When I'm having this encounter, I just said, God, if you're real, take away my anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
Because I said, I'll believe in you if you take it away. Since that day, I haven't had anxiety or depression. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, yeah. But you have to eat rock bottom to actually come back.
There's a passage when I was having this encounter with Jesus. There was a passage in the Bible in Isaiah 53. It talks about Jesus. It's like a prophecy about him. And it calls him the suffering servant.
Okay.
And how Jesus Christ is God. But when he came on earth, he lived a perfect life to show us how to live. You know, like when people tell you how to live, Ruffy,
yeah.
and then they don't do it themselves?
Yeah, yeah.
They're hypocrites, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Jesus, he doesn't tell us how to live. He showed us how to live.
Yeah, yeah.
And when
by example.
Right. And when he died on the cross, he said, I'm going to die for you. So you live for me. And I realized that my anxiety and depression was killed on the cross with Jesus. And the Bible in Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we're healed. So because Jesus Christ died on the cross, we can be healed of any struggle. And he resurrected from the dead. And so that night when I prayed that prayer to God, and I said, take away my anxiety and depression, and he took it away, I started following Jesus. And I had a hole in my heart, a big hole.
Yeah.
And it was like he filled that hole in my heart.
Okay.
Isn't that a cool encounter?
Cool, man.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Would it be okay if I blessed you and prayed for you really
quick?
Is that okay? Can I put my hand on you?
Yeah,
is that okay?
If you'd like.
Awesome. Jesus, thank you so much for Ruffy. God, we just thank you for his kind heart and his vulnerability. Jesus, right now, we just ask you to show up in his life, God. Would you speak to him in dreams and visions? Jesus, any life struggles, anxiety that's weighing him down, if depression's weighing him down, we just ask you to remove it in Jesus' name. God, we just ask for you to show up and rub his life. We thank you for him. We bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank
you so much. Can I give you a hug? Is that okay?
Yeah, of course, man.
Love you, man.
Love you too.
Last question.
Yeah, of course.
Because you said that you think that there's something greater out there, but you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
If Jesus Christ revealed himself to you,
yeah,
would you consider to believe in him?
Of course.
If I pray and ask God to touch you and you feel his presence, would that be okay?
Yeah.
Can I take your hand?
Yeah.
Ready? Watch this. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to encounter Ruffy right now. Touch him right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did you feel anything when I was praying for you?
Yeah, I feel good.
You feel good?
Yeah.
What does it feel like?
I don't know. I like your interaction.
Yeah. In the Bible, Jesus Christ, his title is the Prince of Peace.
Okay, yeah.
And so in the middle of our struggles, when life gets hard, Jesus promises to be with us through it because he's the Prince of Peace. So God doesn't promise to take everything away, right?
Yeah,
like if I were to do drugs, my issues would go away for a moment. And then when I sobered up, they would come back.
Yeah,
but Jesus says, I'm not going to take it away, but I'm going to be with you through it.
Yeah, peace.
That's through the good. Fire.
Yeah,
peace
it's a beautiful
it.
Thing.
I understand it.
Yeah, that's
Thank
so
you.
Cool. Yeah,
Thank you, brother.
I love you, man.
Wow, how cool is that? How cool is that? You know what I love about Bryce? Well, any of the people that I follow, really, is there's no fear. There's no embarrassed moments. It's just them. And Jesus spreading the word of God the way that they're instructed to. Really beautiful. Really beautiful. And the fact that that guy said, I feel good. I feel good. And then jumped up and gave him a hug. I'm telling you, there's no place where God is not needed. But there are places where God is definitely needed. Definitely needed more than others. And places like that, the Burning Man. Come on, folks. Through the fire. And now I want to take you to So Be It. Our Jewish friends who have become completed Messianic Jews, now Christian, on the streets of Tel Aviv, bringing the word of Christ to fellow Jews. And I love this stuff. Let's watch this for a bit.
My friends just got killed. The Holocaust all over again. We don't deserve this.
I feel like broken inside of me. I feel like empty inside of me.
I can see that all over the world there's so much hate and anti-Semitism.
Chasing Jews around the world right now, and we're just modern with TikToks and iPhones.
Here in Israel, our hearts are broken. People are crying out for help. They're grieving, they're mourning, they're in shock. I'm at a demonstration right now for the release of the hostages. It's heartbreaking. So I'm going out to show Israelis the support that have come in from your comments that has completely encouraged me and uplifted me and touched my heart. And I want to share that here with the people of Israel.
From Christians to Jews.
Along with me.
There is rockets all over.
Yeah.
There is sirens all over. It's so scary. Yeah. You feel threatened. It's not about only the South. They can come to Tel Aviv. They can come to my house. I feel like broken inside of me. I feel like empty inside of me. Mm. We feel like it's happened inside my house. Mm-hmm. Like we are sitting Shiva inside of the house.
Betach.
We're talking about someone
right.
who got murdered, who got killed, about the stories. It's terrible to understand that all my friends that fighting in Gaza can kill. It's terrible
right.
that people in my age fighting right now in Gaza. People in my age, more or less, kidnapped.
I can see that all over the world there's so much hate and anti-Semitism.
Yes.
That put my country, our country, Israel, under danger.
Yeah.
So many people lost their lives. So many children.
I know.
My friends just got killed.
Your friends?
My friends. I serve in Palchat, Chilut v'Hatzala.
Okay.
And the terrorists came to the base in Zikim, in Ashkelon. All the commanders are killed, but all the fresh soldiers are saved. They saved them, but they didn't save themselves. They dead. Also, friends at the party at Nova. I ask of you, please stand with Israel. Please stand with us. We need their help. We need people to know what's really going on.
Yes, yes.
Of course, after the Holocaust, all over again, we don't deserve this.
Yes.
כל תעודה, כל קשר כזה, כל פרסום כזה, בעיקר ברמה של ממשלות, נשיאים ראשי ממשלות, כמובן, אבל כל תעודה עולמית יכולה לתעוד.
And this is more like about humanities and rights, and it's completely wrong. Nobody wants war, but like this is the situation right now, and we need to fight for our country and our rights. So, yeah. Every day that passes is hard. We also lose people. We don't know what's the situation of all the guys that they kidnap.
Yeah. This is an excuse for people to come out and show their anti-Semitism, what they feel already. You know
and
what I mean?
And some of them are purely just naive, like thinking this is the right approach. This is like the humanitarian, the woke approach. But wokeness and over-PC-ness is so dangerous, like chasing Jews around the world right now. And we're just modern with TikToks and iPhones.
We are the first, but not the last. It starts in Israel, but it's going to be all over the world. We don't accept this kind of behave
right.
and this kind of coolness and evil.
Right.
It's
yeah.
devil. It's I don't know what you can get if you murder babies.
Right.
I don't know what kind of fun is this. Who is these people? This is not the people that me and you can connect them.
Right.
So I'm advertising for free. The families of the kidnapped, for example.
Thank you.
I saw one problem. You see all the signs here, most of them are in Hebrew.
Right.
But we did them in English, so
That's
we
right.
can have a worldwide support.
That's right. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
I've been very discouraged lately about what's going on here in Israel. My heart
all
is broken. I've been doing humanitarian work all over the country, talking with people, delivering things. I've been meeting with people who had their friends murdered and laying in the dirt for days until they were picked up. I've been getting thousands and thousands of comments coming into my YouTube channel from Christians around the world that are supporting and loving Israel and praying for the Jewish people. And I wanted to read some of those to you because they encourage me.
Okay.
And they make me feel
okay.
like the world isn't against us.
Yes.
You know, people are for us. And can I read some of these to you?
Yeah.
We pray daily for Israel, for the safety of the hostages, for the Israeli army, and for the civilians on both sides. In Jesus' almighty name, amen. I'm standing with Israel from India, praying for peace in the name of Jesus. Praying for our brothers and sisters in Israel and
yeah.
all who have been taken
Look
hostage.
How he's
God
bringing
will repay
Jesus
this evil
them.
They are doing.
How
yes.
can they reject that?
We pray
that?
Daily for Israel, for the safety of the hostages, for the Israeli army, and for the civilians on both sides. In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
Amen.
Standing with Israel from India, praying for peace in the name of Jesus. May God Almighty bless and protect Israel by air, land, and sea. God bless. Viva Israel. May all hostages return home safe to their loved ones. Mexico, USA, and the whole Christian community here in Southern California are praying for Israel. God bless you. Lord Heavenly Father, I pray that you strengthen Israel's army, and I pray that you grant them victory over their enemies. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Nice to meet you too. So I wanted to read some of those comments to you and see how it makes you feel, and if there's anything you want to share with the world right now about how you're feeling and what's going on here. Praying for the safety of Israel, for the IDF soldiers, and all the innocent children, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We are praying for Israel. We Christians from Indonesia stand with Israel. I'm from Indonesia, and I pray for the Israeli Defense Army to win and drive Hamas out of Gaza. Amen. Starting to get emotional. I'm sorry. Praying from Sweden for protection of you and all children of God, in Jesus' name. Praying with you all, people of Israel. Take courage and be strong in the Lord. Believers are praying with you all in Jesus' name. May all hostages return home safe to their loved ones. Sorry. It's hard for me too, because I'm Jewish and I'm Israeli and my children are frightened. We had a missile that landed a half a kilometer from my home just a few days ago, and my children are scared. So I just want to let you know that the world is watching and they are praying for you and for us here in Israel and for our land and for our people. Praying now with you, I stand with you in the name of Jesus from Florida. This is just a few of thousands. I mean, they're flooding in every day on the channel. How does that make you feel as a Jewish man living in Israel?
The two that popped out the most were the one from Indonesia, mm-hmm. which I know is a Muslim majority country.
Wow, good point.
So it's very heartwarming to see the Christian community alive, well, in a Muslim majority country and able to speak, because we see what's happening around the world to people who support Israel right. or are Jewish.
Right.
And the one from Florida, because I lived in Florida for 3 years, so that's close to home.
It's really good to hear that people all over the world also support us and does not only hate. I just hope that better days are coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Is there anything you'd like to tell to the world right now while you have the opportunity?
Just know that there's a lot of fake news. I want you to know where are you taking all your information from. And this is very important for our fight in Israel and for our security and all over the world security. I'm also talking about the Palestinians.
תענוג לשמוע את הדברים האלה, מכובד. כל תעודה עולמית שתהיה, היא שיכולה מאוד לעזור. כי אני מאמין שבסוף, מה שיביא לפתרון זה שילוב של לחץ צבאי מלא יחד עם תעודה עולמית.
Somebody in the chat said something that really, you know, made me take a second look at it. They said this is needed today, and when we look at the issues in our country right now anyway, and we think about the debate last night, yeah, all of us could, trust me, I was angry last night too. I was angry last night too. But I'm going to put my anger towards focusing on Christ. That's what I'm going to do today. And since we're talking about chain breaking, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy. And I'll see you later at 11 a.m. Let's break some chains today. God bless.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life. Oh, there's a better life. If you got pain,
come on, folks.
He's a pain taker.
Come on.
Waymaker. If you need freedom, save it. He's a prison shaking singer. Got you.
justified. Come on. Somebody testify. Woo!
If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. You got pain.
What is he?
He's a pain taker.
That's right.
If you feel lost, he's a way maker.
Come on.
You receive it.
Receive it.
If you can feel it.
Can you feel it?
Testify
today. Come on.
If you believe it.
Believe it.
If you receive it.
Receive it.
If you can feel it.
Come on, better testify. Come on. Woo.
Thank y'all so much.